Welcome to Walden Behavioral Care's Eating Disorder Recovery Reflections podcast series. I am Katie Fitzgerald, Walden's Director of Communications. Recovery Reflections is a podcast series where individual eating disorder survivors share their personal journey from struggle to recovery. On today's episode, we will hear Courtney's recovery story. Courtney is a young and proud eating disorder survivor. She is currently in her first year of graduate school for a dual degree in public health and social work. She sees her journey as integral to her work now and is appreciative for all that she has learned through the process. She loves to laugh, dance, learn, and explore her environment. She is very close with her family, and they were a key part of her recovery. She is grateful to Walden and her support team along the way and is excited about being a guest on the show today. Courtney, welcome to Recovery Reflection.
Thank you for having me. For me personally, my story, I believe the groundwork for my disorder began in college, whereas previously I was living at home and I was able to sort of use my family as that strong foundation and base of love and support and values. In college, I really had so much independence and autonomy, and that allowed me to structure my views on myself and my place in my environment in a new way. I largely, in college, really put a lot of worth and value in academics and my extracurricular activities, and I felt really great about being a part of those things. I had great friends, and I had a lot of awesome things that I was connected to and involved with. And when it came close to graduation, I had a little bit of anxiety about what I was going to do. But, you know, you can't really stop graduation, so it happened, and I moved back home. And abruptly, all of those wonderful, you know, healthy activities and people that made me feel connected and worthy and loved and supported were gone. It was a tough transition, and I didn't really have any way to prepare for it, nor did I think that I needed to. So pretty much immediately, I was overwhelmed by feelings of loneliness, being really lost and trying to figure out what my purpose was now that I was in this world of employment and needing to find your career path. So in this kind of uncertain space, my genuine interest and enjoyment of health, fitness, and gardening and food-related things started to become more restrictive. It began with taking in a lot of health-related media from magazines like Shape and Self and Fitness, and I would tune in for TV shows that would do segments on whatever new food that you should be afraid of and not eat, and all these things became my new interest, and they became what I spent more of my time doing. Without my friends around and the purpose of school, focusing on these diet trends and new workout routines occupied most of that mental space and space in terms of my time that I spent during the day. Though at the time I was working, but largely when I wasn't working, I was thinking about these things or doing, exercise or whatever. And as the months continued after graduation, those feelings of loss and loneliness and low self-worth really intensified, and so did my behaviors. I started to really decline social engagement. I just said no when people would invite me out from work or to do something new, I really just would refuse. I started to feel a need to be active at all times during the day. And in my mind, I thought that if I rested, that would lead to weight gain, which I didn't want. I became really fixated on adhering to all these rules that I had created for myself. And some of the rules were informed by the magazines I was reading and the health blogs, and some were just like intensified versions of just actual sound advice that you might get from a doctor or someone. So at this point of extreme restriction, this is when the binging and purging began. My body craved and needed these foods that I was denying it, but when I would have them during binges, the self-loathing was so intense I could not keep them in my body. I cycled through these behaviors for a while, and I lost a lot of weight, which added another layer onto what I was going through mentally. As I lost weight, I began to regard myself differently. I had never been this small, and I had this idea in my head of what someone with a body like this would be like and act like and who they would be connected to and what kind of life they would live. And that was not me. I was isolated, lonely, tormented by all these behaviors and visits I had to make to the gym. And I was not this kind of young, beautiful, vibrant, desired person that I thought this body would bring. And honestly, to add another layer onto that, I was struggling with the fact that people were treating me differently, which is like really messed up and is really something that I honestly still struggle with, is kind of how people regarded me differently when I was so sick, you know, in terms of giving me compliments and people kind of coming out of the woodwork to show interest in me. I was like, well, what was I like before? Like, what did people think of me before I lost all this weight? And it really made me think that I had to maintain this body because that's the kind of body that people approved of. So I thought at this point, all these thoughts make you really insecure. And I continued to not let anyone in socially, also because I felt I didn't really have anything to contribute or offer. And my world with my eating disorder was so restrictive and very small that I couldn't really let anyone else in because I would have to let go of a lot of or all of the behaviors that I was engaging in. In the depths of my disorder, in terms of how I felt from the day-to-day, I often felt kind of this dull sense of being, like I was experiencing everything through like a filter or a buffer. There weren't really many highs in terms of being happy or lows and sadness because I wasn't really there completely. I spent most of my time preoccupied with behaviors and food. I wasn't allowing myself to really feel anything. Though I will say I did have some moments of sadness and loneliness, I would just ramp up my behaviors and divert my attention to something else. I just wasn't really present in my life. After many months and losing a lot of weight, I went to see a doctor to ask about the fact that I had lost my period. And after speaking to me for about 5 to 10 minutes, he told me I was just stressed. And that can happen if you work a lot, and if you're like on your feet a lot. And so for my eating disorder itself, that was like the best thing you could have told me because it almost gave me license to just continue with my behavior. You know, in retrospect, looking at it, that was really, really poor judgment on his part because he should have asked me other questions about why I had lost so much weight as opposed to just thinking, oh, okay, you know, it's just because she works a lot. I also think at this time, this diagnosis was affected with the fact that I wasn't like a scary skinny, like that typical what you might think of when someone restricts. I really, you know, I think outwardly a lot of people probably thought I looked fine. So this doctor was kind of operating off of this maybe idea of what someone with an eating disorder would look like, and it influenced the explanation he gave me for a very strong signal that something is wrong. So after seeing him, I decided I would go on a trip and try to get away from all the things that were bothering me. And so I went on a trip internationally, took that money that I had made working, and I wanted to do something fun. But they have this saying, wherever you go, there you are. And that's truly what happened to me when I went away. So I was under a lot of stress. There was a language barrier where I was. I was trying to maintain my routine and behaviors in a foreign country. And I was also really lonely. I didn't really have a support system there. I mean, if I didn't have one at home, I definitely wasn't going to have one in a foreign country. So I had a really big breakdown, just really emotional, crying a lot and engaging in behaviors, and I was just a mess. That loneliness hit me full force. I felt so lonely. I just kept thinking, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I don't have friends. I don't know where to go here or in the U.S. And so in that sense, I really felt like I needed help at that point, and I felt like for the first time that it was bigger than me and I couldn't really just handle it. And so I booked a flight home. I emailed my family and I said, you know, it's kind of an emergency. I'm booking a flight home. This is really much bigger than me. I need more help than I'm getting. Like, I'm so sorry. But don't be, you know, don't get really freaked out. I'm on my way home. And my mom was really supportive. She was like, whatever you need to do, we'll be there to pick you up at the airport. And so it was a pretty long flight. And I'll be honest, over the course of the flight, I pretty much convinced myself I didn't need to get help. By the time I even landed and my parents asked me, okay, what are our next steps? I was like, oh, you know, I just need to like read some books, you know, about self-help. I just need to, you know, meditate and maybe pray. And they were just kind of like, okay. But fortunately, I still kind of set up an intake appointment at a treatment center, and they informed me that I had this disorder and that they would recommend this course of treatment, and if I wanted to come in, I could do, you know, 3 days a week or whatever. So I really was like, no, they don't know what they're talking about. I don't have a problem. I'm going to be fine. I was really, really almost like resentful even of the person who did my intake. I was like, she is an awful person. She doesn't know what she's talking about. But I had a really important conversation with my dad, and I'm kind of telling him, oh, this woman doesn't know what she's talking about. I don't need to go in. And he just says to me, and it was really profound, is he was kind of like, Courtney, sometimes you just have to believe that some people know things better than you do. And it's possible that they're seeing something that you're not. And then he continued to say, what if you just go in and go to the treatment center and you just try it? And even if it doesn't go well, you still tried it. Like, why would you want to do something and not give it your best shot? And so I was like, okay. He totally convinced me. And I entered intensive outpatient treatment. And almost immediately, things changed. I really made the commitment when I was there to abstain from behaviors, which wasn't easy. And then once I abstained, I started to feel everything, like everything. So I would drive home from treatment, and I would just be crying and crying and crying and really not understanding all this pain. It kept just coming in like waves. And I don't think I had ever cried so much and really sat in this sense of despair. You know, all of these feelings of no self-worth, loneliness, and intense sadness, to not be living the life I thought I would be living, and not to mention not really loving myself. Like, I just didn't have a positive self-regard. I didn't really want to be me, period. So it was a lot to deal with. But fortunately, in a treatment center, you get the support, so you're not really going about it alone. And I felt myself getting stronger through the process. The treatment center helped me to see the behaviors as detrimental to my physical and mental health. And through my trust in that knowledge, I began to believe in my ability to just feel my emotions and not numb them out. I left after 5 weeks, which I do want to make sure I note was an insurance decision and not mine. But at that time, I did feel pretty hopeful. And really, really good and excited to just, you know, get back to life and had a great mindset. But, you know, I really wasn't in the best place in terms of my coping skills. They weren't as strong as I think they really could be. So I did end up re-entering treatment about 6 months later, which was really tough and, you know, not that uncommon. I thought that my problems would be kind of gone after entering treatment the first time, but you know, sometimes you just have to go back and strengthen those skills and really have a realistic awareness of what life without behaviors and a disorder might feel like. So my second time in treatment, I really just strengthened my belief in my self-worth in any situation, and I worked on those coping skills, and I also got connected with a therapist, which was really helpful. And so that second time, again, was pretty difficult. But, you know, I kind of tried to approach it like school. And that might sound kind of funny, but it just helped me to think of it as, like, these are assignments that are going to increase my learning and help me get stronger in this particular area, which, you know, when you go to treatment, that particular area is going to help your whole life. So the whole process, you know, was really difficult. And I want to portray my story accurately, but also give hope to those who will listen to this. It's really hard. Recovery is just like having to just kick butt all the time and learn to be your own champion and develop this resolve that the disorder really robs you of. It's a challenge to start to let people back into your life again and accept their love. When I felt so unworthy and low, I didn't think I was deserving of those things. It sounds cheesy, but the stronger I got, the more light I was letting back into my life, the more joy. And now that I have experienced it again, I fight fiercely to maintain my recovery. I seek out supportive and loving friendships, and I try to be that person for other people. I challenge ideas of what it means to be quote-unquote good. I really try to encourage others to enjoy their food. And I compliment and uplift people left and right because you never know how truly low someone might be feeling, because I know how low I felt. And I really wouldn't wish that on anyone. I certainly had rough days, but I was fortunate to encounter wonderful people on my recovery team who taught me coping skills, mindfulness, and to just be. Where I stand now, this experience will always be a part of my story, but I feel that much more empowered. To even be on this podcast and share it with whoever listens is a gift. I'm stronger now than I ever was because I know the power in being vulnerable. The disorder and process of recovery breaks you down to the most basic elements of yourself, and I've been able to put the pieces back together. I'm so grateful to have come out of it, and I'm so hopeful, and I just want to stress that. I am so hopeful for those of you who may be listening to this story and are in it right now. And I just smile thinking about where we all can go. Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney, for sharing your recovery story with us. Listeners, we encourage you to share this Recovery Reflection podcast with those you feel could use a boost of inspiration as they travel their own road to eating disorder recovery. Thank you for listening.